Akel Andueza and the ensemble La Galania. Now it's time for our Drama on Three, and we're going over to Orford Church in Suffolk for a new production of Louis MacNeice's verse drama, The Dark Tower. MacNeice was one of the foremost poets of the 20th century, but he also enjoyed a successful career as a producer and writer with the BBC. And he wrote The Dark Tower towards the end of the Second World War. It's since become a landmark production in the history of radio drama. He decided to dispense with conventional sound effects. The world of his play would be created and underpinned entirely by music. The composer chosen for this task was none other than 31-year-old Benjamin Britten, fresh from the triumphant premiere of Peter Grimes, which we'll hear some of later on. This was recorded on Friday evening in front of a live audience. MacNeice's iconic radio play The Dark Tower forms the centrepiece of Snape Malting's Britten Weekend. So the actors in our drama are joined by the musicians of the BBC Concert Orchestra. That's 14 string players, a percussionist and a trumpet player, all under the baton of conductor Robert Ziegler. So in Orford Church then, with 12 actors performing at the microphone to a full house, the space below the medieval tower becomes the most imposing and atmospheric of radio studios. But before the performance proper begins, by the magic of radio, we're lucky enough to be able to hear a new introduction to the play, delivered by none other than the author himself. Mr. Louis MacNeice will now address the audience.
Don't ask me what this play is about, because I won't tell you. It frightens or puzzles everyone in the corporation. It resists any rational analysis. Psycho-morality, no. Satirical fantasy, not really. It has no clear moral or message. It has the solidity of a dream. Radio is like dreams. It has no set stage. It can disregard spatial conventions. You all have to accept the dream framework. And after that, you're on your own. I wrote it in Belfast in the summer of 45. I could never write more than a little bit at a time. I was in a state, sitting at my desk all night with a packet of fags, remembering. What? The Blitz. All these shattered shops and blazing stores. That cataract of broken glass. That bonfire of dog's-eared property. The suffering, the waste, the burning buildings. And this voice inside of me saying, let her go up. Let her come down. Let them all go. Write them all off. Stone walls do not a city make. I think it's the best radio script I've written. It was given, but what was given hit me hard. Had to keep breaking off for a drink. I tried to join the Navy in 1940, but they wouldn't have me. So I went on the staff of the BBC. It's a very second-rate institution, and Christ, the things they do to one's work, to chop it and sugar it and cut out the fine detail and write their own bloody crudities. But it is just a choice of evils, and the BBC, though deplorable, does leave some loophole for intelligence and individual decisions. To tell truth, my radio colleagues are on the whole quicker-witted, more versatile, less egocentric, less conventional, more humane than most. Go along then. Suppose I might give you a clue or two as to what you're about to receive. Of course, it started with Browning's poem.
Burningly, it came on me all at once. This was the place. Those two hills on the right, couched like two bulls, locked horn in fight. While to the left, a tall scalped mountain. Dunce, dotard. A dozing at the very nonce, after a life spent training for the sight. What in the midst lay but the tower itself, the round squat turret, blind as the fool's heart.
It's good stuff, isn't it? It's not at all clear what Browning's on about either. Child Roland to the dark tower came. What's in the dark tower? A dragon? A necromancer? A king? Well, we all know who's king round here, don't we? Where he walks, the air crackles. He has the gift of life. It's dangerous to get too close. Well, what is he? Magician? Fallen angel? A curly-haired devil in a fast car with three jolly lads in the back? He'll lead you up the craggy path to his red house. And he's rich. What does poetry get you? Nothing but music. Even before the war, when he was at the GPO, he told me he was getting £15 a week. Ah, they're all smitten with Britain. Browning's last scene is nearest to mine.
Not sea, because of night, perhaps? Why, day came back again for that. Before it left, the dying sunset kindled through a cleft. The hills, like giants at a hunting, lay chin upon hand to see the game at bay. Now stab and end the creature to the heft. Not here, when noise was everywhere. It tolled, increasing like a bell, names in my ears of all the lost adventurers, my peers.
So who are my adventurers? If this play of mine is a parable like The Pilgrim's Progress, then surely I could offer you an explicit summary. My Roland, who is he? Everyman, soldier, politician, terrorist? What's he fighting against? Fascists? Communists? The pram in the hall? The Arts Council? No. It spoils the impact. I would merely say to those of you who find my play pointless and depressing that, in my opinion, it is neither. Bunyan couldn't have written The Pilgrim's Progress without his faith. Well, I have my beliefs, and they permeate the Dark Tower. Don't ask me what they are. Just sit quiet and listen. Browning's poem ends with a challenge blown on a trumpet. And yet, dauntless the slughorn to my lips I set, and blew, Child Roland to the dark tower came. And yet. Do you feel the weight of that? Roland doesn't want to be there. Maybe he doesn't have to be there, but in the end, he comes to the dark tower.
There now. That's the challenge. And mark this. Always hold the note at the end.
Yes, Sergeant Trumpeter, yes.
Why need Gavin hold the note at the end?
You're too young to know. It's all tradition.
What's tradition, Sergeant Trumpeter?
Ask Mother that one. She knows.
Aye, she knows. But run along, Sonny. Leave your brother to practice. No, again. Again. That's it now. But hold that last note.
Mother, what's tradition?
Hand me that album. No, the black one.
The locked one?
Yes, the locked one. I have the key. Now, Roland, Sit here by me on the sofa. We'll look at them backwards.
Why must we look at them backwards?
Because then you may recognize... Now, you know who this is.
Why, that's my brother Michael. Here are all my brothers. Do you keep this album locked because they're dead?
No, not exactly. Now, can you guess who this is?
That's someone I saw in a dream once.
It must have been in a dream. He left this house 3 months before you were born.
Is it my father?
Yes. And this is your grandfather? And this is his father? For the time being, you needn't look at the rest. This book goes back through 7 long generations, as far as George, the founder of the family.
And did they all die the same way?
They did, Roland. And now I've answered your question.
What question, Mother? Ah, there's Gavin practicing. He's got it right at last.
Mother, I know the challenge. When can I leave? Tomorrow?
Why not today, Gavin?
Today? But I haven't checked my equipment yet. I mean, for such a long journey, I...
You will travel light, my son.
Well, yes. Of course. Today, then.
Where are you going, Gavin?
Well, surely you know.
Hush! I know where he's going. Across the sea, like Michael.
That's right, Roland. Across the big, bad sea. And after that, through the forest. And after that, through the desert.
What's the desert made of?
Well, I've never been there. Some deserts are made of sand, and some are made of grit.
And what do you find at the other end of the desert?
Well...
You can tell him.
I find the Dark Tower.
Now, Master Roland, as this is our first day of lessons, I trust I shall find you as willing a pupil as your 6 brothers before you.
Did you like teaching my brothers?
Like it? It was an honor. It was teaching to some purpose.
When's my brother Gavin coming back?
What?
Gavin. When's he coming back?
Roland. I see I must start from the beginning. I thought your mother would have told you, but maybe being the youngest...
What would my mother have told me?
You ask when your brother Gavin is coming back. You must get this straight from the start. Your family never come back.
But why not?
Now, don't let me scare you. Sit down on that stool. I'll try to explain. Now, Roland... I said that to teach your brothers was an honor. Before your mother engaged me as a tutor, I was an usher in a great city. I taught 2 dozen lads in a class, the sons of careerists, salarymen, middlemen, half-men, governed by greed and caution. It was my job to teach them enough, and only enough, to fit them for making money. Means to a means. But with your family, it is a means to an end.
My family don't make money.
They make history.
And what do you mean by an end?
Well, surely they told you. I mean the Dark Tower.
Will I ever go to the Dark Tower?
Of course you will. That's why I'm here.
And that means I'll fight the dragon?
Yes, but let me tell you. We call it the dragon for short. It is a nameless force, hard to define, for no one who has seen it, apart from those who have seen its handiwork, has returned to give an account of it. All that we know is there is something there which makes the Dark Tower dark and is the source of evil through the world. It is immortal, but men must try to kill it and keep on trying, so long as we would be human.
What would happen if we just let it alone?
Well, some of us would live longer. All of us would lead a degraded life, for the dragon would be supreme over our minds as well as our bodies. Gavin and Michael, all your six brothers, might still be here. Perhaps your father, too. But mark this well. They would not be themselves. Do you understand?
I'm not quite sure. I think...
You're still small. We'll talk of the dragon later. Now, come to the blackboard and we'll try some Latin. You see this sentence.
Per ardua.
Per ardua ad astra.
What does it mean?
It does not go very well in a modern language. We had a word, honor, but it is obsolete. Try the word duty. And there's another word, necessity.
Necessity? That's a bit hard to spell.
You'll have to spell it, I fear. Repeat this after me. N.
N.
E.
E. S.
No.
Oh, God. There's the bell for Gavin. He had the greatest power in his lungs of the lot of them. And now he's another name in a roll of honor, where Michael's is still new gold. 5 years it is, or would it be more like six, since we tolled for Michael? Bells and trumpets, trumpets and bells. I'll have to be learning the young one next. Then he'll be away too. My lady will have no more.
No more children, Sergeant Trumpeter?
Oh, I beg your pardon. I didn't see you.
No matter. But know this. I have one more child to bear. No, I'm not mad. You needn't stare at me, Sergeant. This is a child of stone.
A child of
stone? To be born on my deathbed. No matter. I'm speaking in metaphor.
Oh, well, that's all right then. How's young Roland making out at his lessons?
I don't know. Roland lacks concentration. He's not like my other sons. He's almost flippant. He's always asking questions.
Oh, well, he's young yet.
Gavin was his age once. So was Michael. They never forgot what they learned. And they asked no questions.
Ah, well. By the time that Roland comes to me, when he's had his fill of theory and is all set for action, in another half dozen years, when he comes to learn the trumpet call...
Hush, don't talk of it now. Let one bell toll at a time.
So ends our course on ethics. Thank you, Roland. After all these years, our syllabus is concluded. You have a brain.
Thank you.
What remains to be tried is your will. Remember our point today. The sensitive man is the more exposed to seduction. In 6 years I have come to know you. You have a warm heart. It is perhaps too warm for a man with your commission. Therefore, be careful. Keep to your one resolve, your single code of conduct. Listen to no one who doubts your values, and above all, Roland, never fall in love.
What? Why not?
That is not for you. If ever a hint of love should enter your heart, you must arise and go.
Go?
Yeah, that's it, go. Yes, Roland, my son, go quickly.
Why must you go so quickly, now that the sun's come out?
I have my lesson to learn.
You're always learning lessons. I'll begin to think you prefer your books to me.
But Sylvie, this isn't books anymore.
Not books, then...
I'm learning to play the trumpet.
Whatever for? Roland, you make me laugh. Is this another idea of your mother's? I needn't ask. What's all this leading to?
I could tell you, darling. But not today. Today is a thing in itself, apart from the future. And whatever follows, I will remember this tree with this dazzle of sun and shadow. And I'll remember the mayflies jigging above us in the delight of the dying instant. And I'll remember you with the bronze lights in your hair.
Yes, darling, but why so sad? There will be other trees.
Each tree is itself. Each moment is itself. Inviolable gifts of time, of God. But you cannot take them with you.
Take them with you where?
Kiss me, Sylvie. I'm keeping my teacher waiting.
Nicely blown. Nicely blown. You've graduated, my lad. But remember, when I'm not there, hold the note at the end.
You mean when I'm not there?
Aye, you're right. But you are my last pupil. I'll be shutting up shop, and I want you to do me credit. When you've crossed the sea and the desert and come to the place itself, I want you to do me credit when you unsling that horn.
I hope I will. Sergeant. Do you believe in all this?
All what?
Or do you think that there really is any dragon to fight?
What are you saying? What was it killed your brothers? And your father himself? And his father before him? And all of them back to George?
I don't know, but nobody's seen this dragon.
Seen him? They've seen what he's done. Have you never talked to blind Peter?
No.
I thought not. Cooped up here in the castle inside this big black ring of smothering yew trees, you never mixed with the folk. But before you leave, if you want a reason for leaving, I recommend that you pay a call on Peter. And his house is low. Mind your head as you enter.
Yeah, that's right, sir. Mind your head as you enter. Now, take that chair. It's the only one with springs. I saved it from my heyday. Well, now, sir, it's kind of you to visit me. I can tell by your voice that you're your father's son. Your handshake is not so strong, though.
Why, was my father...
He had a grip of iron. And what's more, sir, he had a will of iron. And what's still more again, he had a conscience, which is something we all need. I should know.
Why?
Why what?
Why do you sound so sad when you talk about having a conscience?
Because a conscience is something that a man can lose. Oh, it's cold in here. I'll make a long story short. 50 years ago, when I had my sight, but the dragon was on the loose at the time, I had a job and a wife and a newborn child. And I believed in God. Until one day, I told you the dragon was loose at the time. No one had challenged him lately, so he came out from his den. what some people call the tower. And creeping around, he got into our part of the world. And nobody saw him, of course. There was just like a kind of a bad smell in the air. And everything went sour. People's mouths and eyes changed their look overnight. And the government changed, too. And as for me, I woke up feeling different. And when I looked in the mirror that first morning, the mirror said,
"Informer."
Informer?
Yes, sir. My new role. They passed a pack of laws forbidding this and that, and anyone breaking them, the penalty was death. I grew quite rich, sending men to their death. The last I sent was my wife's father.
But did you believe in these laws?
Believe? Did I believe in anything? God had gone around the corner and I was acquiring riches. But to make a long story short, when they hanged my wife's father, my wife took poison. So I was left with the child. Then the child took ill. Scared me stiff, so I sent for all the doctors. I could afford them then. But they couldn't discover anything wrong in its body. It was more as if its soul was set on quitting. And indeed, why not? To be a human being, people agree, is difficult.
And then the child...
quit. Yes. She quit. But... slowly. I watched it happen. And that's why now I am blind.
Aye, you don't mean that you yourself...
When you've seen certain things, you don't want to see anymore. Tell me, sir, are people's faces nowadays as ugly as they were? You know what I mean. Evil.
No, not most of them. Some... I suppose.
Those ones belong to the dragon.
Why put the blame of everything on the dragon? Men have free choice, haven't they? Free choice of good or evil.
That's just it. And the evil choice is the dragon. But I needn't explain it to you, sir. You've made up your mind. You are like your father. One of the dedicated. Whose life is a quest, whose death is a victory. Yes, God bless you. You've made up your mind.
But have I, Peter? Have I?
Have you, Roland, dearest, really made up your mind?
I go away today.
That's no answer. You go away because they tell you to, because your mother's brought you up on nothing but out-of-date beliefs and mock heroics. It's easy enough for her.
Easy for her? Who's given her flesh and blood? Now I'm the seventh son?
I've heard all that. They call it sacrifice, but each new death is a stone in a necklace to her. Your mother, Roland, is mad.
The world is mad.
Not all of it, my love. Those who have power are mad enough, but there are people, Roland, who keep themselves to themselves, or rather to each other, living a sane and gentle life in a forest nook or a hill pocket, perpetuating their kind and their kindness, keeping their hands clean and their eyes keen, at one with themselves, each other, and nature. I had thought that you and I, perhaps...
There is no perhaps in my tradition, Sulu.
You mean in your families? Isn't it time you saw that you are different? You're no knight-errant, Roland.
No, I'm not. But there is a word, necessity.
Necessity? You mean your mother's orders?
Not quite, but apart from that. I saw a man today. They call him Blind Peter.
Leave the blind to mislead the blind. That Peter is where he is because of his own weakness. You can't help him, Roland.
Maybe not. But maybe I can do something to prevent a recurrence of Blind Peter's...
Imagination!
Imagination? What, that things can be bettered? That action can be worthwhile? That there are ends which, even if not reached, are worth approaching? Imagination? Yes, I wish I had it. I have a little. And you should support that little and not support my doubts. Listen, there's the drum. They're waiting for me at the gate. Sylvie, I...
Kiss me at least.
I shall never...
See me again? You will, Roland. You will. I know you. You will set up, but you won't go on. Your common sense will triumph. You'll come back. And your love for me will triumph. And in the end...
This is the end. Goodbye.
To you, Roland, my last message. For 7 years I have been your tutor. You have worked hard on the whole, but whether really you have grasped the point of it all remains to be seen. A man lives on a sliding staircase, sliding downwards, remember. To be a man, he has to climb against it, keeping level or even ascending slightly. He will not reach the top if there is a top, and when he dies, he will slump and go down regardless. All the same, while he lives, he must climb. Remember that. And I thank you for your attention. Goodbye, Roland.
To you, Roland, my last message. You are off now on the quest like your brothers before you to take a slap at the evil that never dies. Well, here's this trumpet. Sling it around your waist and keep it bright and clean till the time comes when you have to sound the challenge, the first and the last time. And I trust that you'll do your old instructor credit and put the fear of God or of men into that dragon. That's all now. God bless you. But remember, hold that note at the end.
To you, Roland. My last message. Here's a ring with a blood-red stone. So long as this stone retains its color, it means that I retain my purpose in sending you on the quest. I put it now on your finger.
Mother, it burns!
That is the heat in the stone. So long as the stone is red, the ring will burn, and that small circle of fire around your little finger will be also the circle of my will around your mind. I gave a ring like this to your father, Roland, to all your brothers, to Gavin, the last before you. My will was around and behind them. Should ever you doubt or waver, look at this ring and feel it burn, and go on.
Mother, before I go...
No more words. Go. Turn your face to the sea. Open the gates there! The march of departure, Sergeant. Let my son go out. Music!
Forgive me stopping you, sir.
Forgive you? Certainly not. I'm on my way to the tavern.
I'm on my way to the quays. Is it this turning or next?
Any turning you like. Look down these stinking streets. There's sea at the end of each of them. Yes, young man, but what's at the end of the sea? Never believe what they said when you booked your passage.
But I haven't booked it yet.
Not booked your passage yet? Why, then there's no need to hurry. You come with me to the tavern. It's only a step.
I cannot spare a step.
All right, all right. If you won't come to the tavern must come to you. Ho there! Music! That's the idea. Music does wonders, young man. Music can build a palace, let alone a pub. Come on, you masons of the muses, swing it! Fling me up four walls! Oh, now, now, don't drop your tempo. Easy with those hods. All right. Four walls. Now, benches. Tables. No, no doors or windows. What drunk wants daylight? But you've left out the bar. Come on. Cellos! Percussion! All of you! The bar! That's right! Dismiss. Barmaid.
Yes, sir.
Give us whatever you have and make it a triple.
Just a small one for me, please.
Oh, don't be so objective. One would think, looking at your long face, that there's a war on.
But there is.
There is no war on, and you have no face. Drink up. Don't be objective.
What in the name of...
Look, dearie, don't mind him. He always talks like that. You take my tip. You're new here, and this town is a seaport. This town is rather... Go somewhere inland.
But how can I? I have to go to sea.
The sea out there leads nowhere.
Come, sweetheart, the same again.
Nowhere. I've warned you. As for our friend here, don't stay too long in his company.
What's that? Don't stay too long in my what?
Company was the word.
Company? I have none. Why, how could I? There's never anyone around where I am. I exist for myself, and all the rest is projection. Come on, projection. Drink. Dance on your strings and drink.
Oblige him, dearie. Oblige him.
There. My projection drinks. I wrote this farce before I was born, you know. This puppet play. In my mother's womb, dear boy. I have never abdicated the life of the womb. Watch, Mabel, my new puppet drinks again. A pretty boy, but I've given him no more lines. Have I, young man? You see? He cannot speak. All he can do henceforward is to drink. Look, a pull on the wire, the elbow lifts. Give him the same again.
Well...
There's no well about it except the well that has no bottom and that fills the world. Triplets, I said. Where are those damned musicians? Buck up, you puppets! Play! Good. Serenade me now till I fall asleep and all the notes are one and all the sounds are silence. Unity, Mabel. Unity is my motto. The end of drink is a hole without any parts. A great black sponge of night that fills the world, and when you squeeze it, Mabel, it drips inwards. Do you want me to squeeze it? Right. Piano there. Piano! I must sleep! Didn't you hear me? Piano, puppets! All right. Pianissimo. Pianissimo.
A puppet. A projection. How he lies. And yet I've sometimes thought the same. You know, the same, but the other way round. There is no evidence for anything except my own existence. He says his. But he's wrong anyway. Look at him snoring there. If I was something existing in his mind, how could I go on now that he's asleep?
Because I'm dreaming you.
Dreaming?
Yes, sir, he does have curious dreams.
Yes. And the curious thing about my dreams is that they always have an unhappy ending for all except the dreamer. Thus, at the moment, you'd never guess, young man, what role I've cast you for.
What?
Never mind, dear. Tomorrow he'll wake up.
Tomorrow he'll wake up? And I? Shall I wake up? Perhaps to find that this whole quest is a dream. Perhaps I'm still at home in my bed by the window, looking across the valley, between the yew trees, to where Sylvie lives. Not among yews, but apples.
All aboard!
What's that?
All aboard!
You'd never guess what happens in my dream.
All aboard, ladies and gents, knaves and fools, babes and sucklings, Philistines, Pharisees, parasites, pimps, nymphos and dipsos, all aboard! Lost souls and broken bodies! Make it snappy! That's right, folks!
Take it, thank you.
Mind your feet on the gangway!
Take it, thank you.
All aboard! All aboard!
Take it, thank you.
Come along there, young man, unless you want to be left.
Take it, thank you.
All aboard for the further side of the sea, for the dead end of the world, and the bourne of no return!
This way, sir. Let me show you your stateroom. Hot and cold, and a blue light over the bed. Ring once for a drink, twice for an aspirin. Now, if you want anything else, a manicure, for example.
No, steward, a sleeping draught.
Sir, in the morning?
The morning be damned, my head aches.
Drinking last night, sir?
Thinking.
Thinking? Oh, that's too bad, sir. But you'll soon get over that, sir. In this ship, nobody thinks, sir. Why should they? They're at sea, sir. And if your brain's at sea, sir...
Listen, I want a sleeping draught. How many times do I have to ring for that?
As many times as you like, sir. If you can keep awake, sir. But talking of sleeping draughts, sir, do you hear that lady playing the fiddle?
Fiddle? No, I don't.
Oh, that's because she plays it in her head. But she's a very nice lady, sir. Her name, sir, is Niara.
Why should I care what her name is?
Of course, if you'd rather play Tombola.
Tombola?
Game of chance, sir. They call out numbers. Kills the time, sir. Rather like life, sir. You can buy your tickets now in the lounge. The ship started, you know, sir.
Oh, so the ship started? But I can't hear the engines.
Can't you, sir? I was right then.
Right? What do you mean?
I thought so the moment I saw you. You don't, sir. Of course you don't.
Don't what, damn you? Don't what?
You don't know where you're going, sir.
Clickety click. 66, Kelly's Eye, number one, and we
And Antino? Rallentando. Adagio. Mon Dieu, you startled me.
I'm sorry.
Do sit down. So you're going nowhere too?
On the contrary, madam.
Call me Niara.
But...
And I'll call you Roland.
How do you know my name?
A little bird told me. A swan, if you want to know. He sang your name and he died. That's right. Sit down. I've seen your dossier, too.
Seen my...
Oh, yes, chérie. In the captain's cabin.
How can I have a dossier? I've done nothing.
That's just it. It's dull. But the future part amuses me. Oh, yes, my dear. This dossier includes the future. And you don't come out of it well.
What do you mean?
You never believed in this quest of yours. You see, the Dark Tower, the dragon, all this blag. That's why you were so easy to seduce. In the idle days at sea, the days that are just beginning.
Key of the door, 21, 11th hour, 11. 10 commandments, 9. Kelly's eye, number 1. And we...
shake the bag!
Lento. Accelerando. Presto, calendo.
Well, sir. So, the lady is still practicing? Golden days, sir, golden days. At sea, sir, have you noticed one doesn't notice time? You probably feel you just came on board yesterday, and yet you got your sea legs weeks ago, sir.
Sea legs? This trip has been so calm, I've never felt anything.
That's right, sir. Never feel. There's nothing in life but profit and pleasure. Allegra, a sigh. Some people plump for pleasure. But I now fancy the profit.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, thank you, sir. Thank you. The sea today in the sun, sir, looks like... What shall I say, sir?
The sea today? Dance of golden sovereigns.
The sea today is adagios of doves.
The sea today is gulls and dolphins.
The sea today is knots and crosses.
And we...
shake the bag!
The sea today, Roland, is crystal.
The sea today, Niara, is timeless.
The sea today is drums and fifes.
The sea today is broken bottles.
The sea today is snakes and ladders.
Especially snakes.
Especially snakes.
Roland, what's that ring? I've never seen one like it.
There is no other ring like it.
A strange ring for a man. My color, you know, that red. Why do you twitch your finger?
Because it burns.
It burns? Like tingling ears, perhaps. Someone is thinking of you.
What? I hope not. Come, darling, let's have a drink.
And we...
shake the bag!
The sea today is drunken marble.
The sea today is silver stallions.
The sea today... Tell me, steward, where's all this floating seaweed come from?
I imagine, sir, forgive me mentioning it, that we are approaching land.
Land?
Yes, sir. But you won't be landing, of course. The best people never land, sir.
No? I suppose not.
Pew Sonora. Conforza. Accelerando. Crescendo.
Any more for the shore? Any more for the shore? Line up there on the forward deck. All that wants to chance their neck.
This way, thank you.
Anyone more for the shore?
This way, thank you.
Anyone more? Hurry up, please.
This way, thank you.
But remember this, once you're off, you can't come back, not ever, on board.
This way, thank you.
We leave at once.
This way, thank you.
Here, who are you shoving? What's the blinking hurry?
That's right.
Some people seem very keen to land in the future. Can't use their eyes, if you ask me.
That's right. Look at them vicious rocks.
And that tumble-down shack what thinks it's a customs house.
And them horrible mountains behind it.
Do you think this country was uninhabited?
This way, thank you. This way, thank you. Okay, sir, that's the lot.
Gangway up! Gangway up! Clear away there! Mind your heads!
What are you staring at, Roland? Come away, Sherry. The show's over. There goes the gangway. We're moving out now. What are you staring at, darling?
Was that? I couldn't see in the face of the sun, but... Steward, you've sharp eyes. Did you see over there on the quay, sitting on a rusty bollard?
Hush, sir. Niara will hear you. Yes, sir. A very nice piece. She was looking at you, sir, too. Staring, in fact, one might say. Seems to be staring still. What was she doing now? Climbing up on the bollard. Good Lord, sir, that's bad form. She's waving.
Roland! Roland!
Sylvie! I knew it! Out of my way there!
Here, here, here! Stop him! Man gone mad there! Don't let him jump!
Roland, come back!
Man overboard! Man overboard! Lifebuoy! Where's the lifebuoy?
Ship don't carry no life buoy.
No, he won't need one. Look, he's climbing up the quay.
And we
shake the bag.
Well, James, that's that.
Yes, madam.
You can drop the madam now.
Yes, Niara, my sweetie pie.
That's more like it, James. My great big he-man. Come to my cabin now. We'll count the takings.
There she goes now.
There she goes now.
Roland, you are a hypocrite.
No, Sylvie, merely a sleepwalker.
The sea must have been cold.
How did you get here, Sylvie?
I followed you, but not on a luxury liner. Mine was a cargo boat. Its limit was 7 knots.
And yet you got here first. Now I suppose you regret it. Are you going to leave me, Sylvie?
How can I? We're marooned here. This is a desolate land. I suggest we keep together.
You have the gift of forgiveness.
I have the gift of common sense. As you're bound to be seduced from your so-called quest. In future, Roland, leave the seducing to me. Or can't I perhaps compete with your ladies of pleasure?
Pleasure? That was not pleasure.
It was. But it was not happiness.
And you offer me happiness?
You doubt that I have it to offer?
No, I don't doubt that. But my tutor always said happiness cannot be taken as a present.
Forget your tutor. This is a foreign land where no one will interfere with us.
No one? No man, perhaps.
What do you mean by that?
Look around you, Sylvie. See the deserted port, the ruined shacks, the slag heaps covered with lichen. And behind it all, the frown and fear of the forest. This is the dragon's domain.
Roland, how childish you are.
You think so? Look at this notice that flaps here on the hoarding. And this one, and this one, and this one.
Wanted for murder. Wanted for murder.
You're reading the words wrong. Not for, Sylvie. To.
Wanted to murder. You're right. But what does it mean?
It means we are on a soil where murder pays.
It pays in many places.
Yeah, but here the paymaster is the government, and payday is every day of the week. The dragon's doing.
Well, if it is, you cannot cure it. At the best, you can cure yourself. And that only through love.
Love?
Through me, Roland, through me.
Yes. I think you're right. Sylvie, take this ring. I cannot wear it now. I have failed this ring, but this ring will not fail you.
You mean?
Yes. Let me put it on your finger.
Not yet. That must be done in a church.
Where can we find a church around here?
What a strange color. Like the blood of a child.
Where can we find a church or a chapel here?
Excusa, lady and gentlemen want guide to chapel.
God, where did this come from?
Me come from sewer. Me accredited guide, very good, very funny. Lady and gentlemen, see chapel today?
Where is this chapel of yours?
Chapel not mine. Chapel belong to God. Me take you there up this road, see? Me tell you history, very much history. Cheap. Ah, that chapel bell. Ting-a-ling for the wedding.
What wedding?
Oh, me not know. No, sir, nobody. No happy pair not come yet.
Roland, this is a sign. Tell him to show us the way.
Oh, me show you the way, sure. Beautiful lady. Put best foot first. The chapel up there in forest.
In the forest?
Sure, boss. Chapel old. Chapel in forest before forest grew. But needs repairs now. Bad. Haunted, too.
Haunted?
Sure, boss. Plenty ghosts. Me need bonus for ghosts.
You'll have your bonus. Only get us there quick. Sylvie, we will exorcise these ghosts. You know how, my dearest?
I know how.
You have the ring? Good. Before I complete this ceremony, making you man and wife, I must deliver a warning. The original sin is doubt. And in these days of contempt for the individual, it is also the topical sin. So if either of you has doubts of the holiness of marriage, or if either of you has doubts of the other and can conceive a time when he or she will think again and wish this thing undone, now is your time to speak. Good. So you have no doubts. There is one other formality. Although there is no congregation present, although apart from ourselves and a few sparrows and field mice, this chapel is now empty, I must still put the question. If anyone here know just cause or impediment...
I do.
I do.
I do.
This young man who has come to you to get married promised me when he left a week before I died that he would avenge my blindness and bring it about how no one should go the way I went in future. Well, has he done it? No. And he'll never do it. Not if you splice him up to that poor, simple girl who only dreams of how he and she will be happy.
No. Roland, my brother Blind Peter is right. Forget your dreams of a home. You can never be happy if you forsake the quest, and if you could, happiness is not all. You must go on. Turn your back on this chapel, go on through the forest alone. Always alone, and then across the desert, and at the other end of that desert.
You will find what I found, Roland.
You.
You should know my voice, though you never heard it. Though you had not seen me, you knew my portrait.
My father.
I am still waiting to be your father. While you malinger, you are no son of mine.
Sylvie.
I know what you want. Your ring. There, back on your finger. Look how it glows in this darkness.
Glows? It will burn me up.
Roland, before we part...
This chapel is now closed. I am sorry. Goodbye, my daughter. Your way lies back. Back by the road you came, over the hopeless sea. Back to your little house and your apple orchard. And there you must marry one of your own kind. And spray the trees in spring, and raise the ladders in autumn, and spread the shining crop on the spare room floor.
Sylvie, before we part...
This chapel is now closed. I am sorry. Goodbye, my son. Your way lies forward. Forward through the gibbering guile of the forest. Forward through the silent doubt of the desert. And here, let me warn you. If in the forest you hear any voices call from the trees, pay no attention, Roland. Pay no attention.
Pretty Polly. Polly. Who's this coming now?
Call.
Who's walking in my forest?
Pretty Polly.
The leaves have fallen.
Call.
He's walking late.
Pretty Polly.
He's looking pale. Call.
His bones will be paler.
Pretty Polly.
Here he comes.
Call.
Greet him.
Where are you going, Roland, so fast?
Roland, running away from your past.
You can't do that.
Still on the road?
Still on the quest?
None achieve it but the best.
You're not the sort.
Why not stop, my dear young man?
Let heroes die as heroes can.
You must live. He's passed us by.
The devil take him.
Pretty funny.
The devil will.
Forest was bad enough, but this beats all. When my tutor described it to me, it sounded strange. But now I'm here, with the grit of it filling my shoes. I find that the worst thing about it is this. The desert is something familiar and with no end. No end.
Tick, tock, tick, tock. Sand and grit, bones and waste. A million hours, all the same. A million minutes, each an hour. And nothing stops, for nothing starts. But the hands move, the dead hands move. The desert is the only clock. Tick, tock, tick, tock, tick, tock, tick, tock.
Flat, tick, tock, no shape, tick, tock, no color. Tick, tock, only here tick, and there a tock, mirage tick, of the past, tock, something tick, I've met before. Tock, tick, figures tick, arising from tick, dust, repeating tock, themselves, tick, telling me tock, things that I have tick, no wish to remember. Tick, tock, mirage, tick, tock, mirage, tock, tick, mirage.
Tick, tock, tick, tock, tick, tock.
A pretty boy, but I've given him no more lines. He'd never guess what happens in my dream. Look, I pull on the wire, his feet move forward. Left, right, left, right, left, right, left.
Golden days, sir, golden days in the desert, sir. Have you noticed? One doesn't notice time, but I thought so the moment I saw you. You don't know where you're going. Golden days, golden days, golden days.
Adagio, rallentando. This dossier includes your future. You don't come out of it well. But kiss me, Roland. Kiss me. Kiss me. Kiss me.
But why must you go so quickly? Now that the sun's come out, you, Roland, you're no knight errant. Your love for me will triumph. You'll come back. And you and I, you and I, you and I, you and I,
kiss
you and I,
kiss me,
you and I,
kiss me, kiss me, kiss me,
no!
Shapes of dust and fancy, unreal voices. But where is the voice that launched me on my road? Mother, where are you? It is only your will that drives me still, as signified in the blood-red stone I wear on my finger under my glove that burns me like a living wheel. Burns me. Burns me. It always has. But have I gone numb? I can feel nothing. Off with this glove. I can't believe... The ring. The ring. The color is gone. The blood has gone out of it. But that must mean... That... means.
It means, my son, that I want you back.
And the quest, then?
Lapses. On my deathbed, I have changed my mind. I am bearing now a child of stone. He can go on the quest. But you, Roland, come back.
Recall. Reprieve. I will come back. The desert, take this ring. It serves no further purpose. What was that? It must have struck something hard. That's the first sound I've heard in the desert. Where did I throw that ring? A stone, but a carved stone. It looks like a milestone. As if the desert had any use for milestones. But how many miles to Babylon? Let's see now. These letters are choked with sand. To those who did not go back, whose bones being nowhere, their signature is for all men, who went to their death of their own free will, bequeathing free will to others.
Pretty Polly. A tall story.
Call, call.
And not so new.
Unknown warriors.
Nobody cares.
Who went to their death.
Of their own free will.
Their own free will. It wasn't like that with me. Own free will. As if I, Roland, had ever... Tutors, trumpeters, women, old soaks and crooked stewards. Everyone I have met has played his music on me. Own free will. Three words, not one of which I understand. All right, Mother dear, I'm coming. Now, where are my footsteps? Better follow them back. But are these my footsteps? They're so near together. And I thought I was walking with great strides. Oh, Roland, Roland, you thought yourself a hero. And you walked with little steps like that. Now you must watch these niggling footprints all your return journey to underline your shame. And what shame to me? You never had free will. Their own free will, bequeathing free will to others. Others indeed. I begin to think my drunken friend was right in his subjective tavern. There are no others apart from the projections of my mind. And once that mind is empty, man's a desert. Others? I mean, who are these others? Where can I find them?
Nowhere, Roland.
Nowhere.
There. What did I say? There are no others.
You will never find us if you go forward, for you will be dead before we are born.
You will never find us if you go back.
For you will have killed us in the womb.
What, I'm an infanticide now?
Not yet. But if you go back...
Who said I was going back?
We thought you'd made up your mind.
I never make up my mind. Didn't I say that my mother... Mother, don't pull on the string. You must die alone. Forgive me, dear, but I tell you, I'm going forward. Forward, Roland. Into the empty desert, where all is flat and colorless and silent. Silent? Well, then what's this? There's something new. There's a sound. But a sound of what? Don't say that it's my heart. Why, Roland, you poor fool, who would think you had one? You must be afraid. It is fear reveals the heart. You piece of clockwork. Trying to have your little say while you can, before your wheels run down here in the empty desert. Empty? Where have those mountains come from? Closing round in a ring. Humpbacked horrors that want to be in at the death. And where's the horizon? A moment ago, this was level. I mean, what's the game? A confidence trick? A trap? I'm cooped in. A circle of ugly cliffs. A lobster pot of rock. Silence, my stupid heart! This looks like what? Looks like the great circus in ancient Rome. Only there is no audience and no lions. No audience? No audience? Why, that's Gavin on top of that peak. And all my brothers. And men that I've never seen in outlandish clothes. Some of them in armor. And there's Blind Peter, with sight in his eyes, for he's pointing. And my father, too, I remember him from the album. And my tutor, he must be dead, looking graver than ever. And well to the front, of course, my dear old Sergeant Trumpeteer.
Roland, hold the note at the end.
Be ready, old boy, this is it.
Strike a good blow to avenge Blind Peter.
Your heritage, my son. You were born to fight.
Fight? Fight whom? The circus has no lions.
No lions, Roland. Have you forgotten your lessons? I never mentioned lions. It was a dragon, and only that for lack of a better name.
Yes, dragon, of course. But you told me, my good tutor, the dragon would not appear until I came to the tower, and until I had blown my blast. Well, there is no tower.
That fooled me, Roland, my brother.
Look over there, Roland, my son.
Where? That little thing, like a wart coming out of the ground?
It's growing, Roland. It's growing.
You should recognize it from my lectures.
That's the Joker, all right.
The tower. The dark tower.
Quick now, my lad! I'll sling your trumpet.
But...
It's growing, my son. Waste no time.
It's growing, yes, it's growing.
Strike a blow for all dead mothers.
Jump to it, Roland.
Waste no time.
Remember that challenge call? Blow it the way I taught you.
Yes, dear friends, I will blow it the way you taught me. I, Roland, the black sheep, the unbeliever, who never did anything of his own free will do this now to bequeath free will to others. Ahoy there, tower, dark tower. You're getting big. Your shadow is called upon me. What of that? And you, you dragon, or whatever you are, who make men beasts, come out! Here is a man! Come out and do your worst!
wrist be steady as I raise the trumpet, so. Now fill my lungs.
In The Dark Tower by Louis MacNeice, Roland was played by Harry Lloyd, Sergeant Trumpeter Jude Akawudike, Gavin Matthew Tennyson, Mother Lucy Robinson, Tutor Adrian Scarborough, Sylvie Manjinder Virk, Blind Peter Nicholas Murchie, Soak Jonjo O'Neill, Barmaid Georgie Glenn, Niara Hannah Genasius, Priest Sam Dale, and Young Roland, William Gidney. Other parts were played by members of the company. The music, composed by Benjamin Britten, was performed by the BBC Concert Orchestra and conducted by Robert Ziegler. The Dark Tower by Louis MacNeice was directed by Robin Brooks and produced by Fiona McAlpine. This performance was recorded at Orford Church as part of Snape Malting's Britain Weekend and was an Allegra production for BBC Radio 3.
And absolutely brilliant, wasn't it? On Wednesday, we're back at Snape Malting's for a concert featuring music by Britten, including his suite for King Arthur. And after the concert, Free Thinking brings together radio historian David Hendy, music expert Kate Kennedy, poet and librettist Glyn Maxwell, and the director of programmes and learning at the Britten Peers Foundation, Lucy Walker. They'll be discussing Britten on the radio. Don't miss it. We'll carry on with Britten now here on Radio 3, because I mentioned before the drama that he was fresh from the triumphant premiere of his opera Peter Grimes when he was asked to compose The Dark Tower. And here are two of the four C interludes from Peter Grimes, performed by the London Symphony Orchestra. In a moment we'll hear Storm, but first we'll start with Moonlight.
Storm, and before that, Moonlight from Peter Grimes, written by Benjamin Britten and performed by the London Symphony Orchestra. And as another reminder, on Wednesday we're back at Snape Maltings for a concert featuring music by Britten, including his suite for King Arthur. And if you're interested in listening again to our drama on 3, The Dark Tower, you can do so shortly by heading over to the Radio 3 website.
Tourists coming to Romania and seeing the Dracula's castle and think that some of us are vampires.
My name is Miles Jupp and I'm speaking to you now from Transylvania.
Crossing Europe by rail, on the trail of Count Dracula.
I've spent the last 3 days running for trains, crossing international borders in the middle of the night, taking the same train journey that Jonathan Harker took in the novel Dracula to get myself from Budapest all the way to Castle Dracula itself.
The Train Spotter's Guide to Dracula. On Tuesday morning at 11:30, and then available on the Radio 4 website.
Sounded like Miles Jupp was trying to hide from a ghost or something there, didn't it? Good evening, this is BBC Radio 3, and I'm Chris Barrow. Later at 11:30, the Guildhall School of Music and Drama perform chamber music from Julian Anderson. That's in an hour's time. Then at 12:30, Jonathan Swain presents Through the Night with music from Mozart, Schoenberg and Dvorak. Oh, and as a reminder, tomorrow for Radio 3 in concert, Sarah Moore-Peach introduces a concert that was recorded at the Royal Festival Hall by Daniel Barenboim in memory of his wife, the cellist Jacqueline Dupre, who died 30 years ago. Kian Soltani is a soloist in Strauss's Don Quixote. That's tomorrow evening at 7:30. Right now it's 10:30 and it's time for this week's Helping of Early Music Late, introduced by Simon Hayes.
Hello and welcome to another in our series of concerts from around Europe commemorating the 450th anniversary of the birth of Claudio Monteverdi in 1567. Tonight he's joined by his friends and colleagues in a delightfully sociable programme devised by soprano Raquel Andueza and ensemble La Galania. Rubbing shoulders with Monteverdi first of all is the organist, violinist and composer Tarquinio Merula, born in Monteverdi's home city of Cremona and a keen follower of his progressive ideas in Venice. We'll start with Merula's catchy song Sentirete una canzonetta, in which each verse enumerates a charming feature of the lover's sweetheart, even that she mercilessly torments his heart. It's followed by a sad little song by Monteverdi, in which a forlorn lover asks the question, "Why, if you hated me, did you feign love?"
Sentirete una canzonetta sopra i miei occhi, sopra i miei occhi del mio vago e dispietato amor, che ogni orde il cor mi tormenta. Mi tormenta e fa sospirare, ma non ha pietà. Sentire che soave canta sopra il nasin del vago e dispietato amor. Che ogni orde il cor mi tormenta e fa sospirare, ma non ha pietà. Sentirete la noia acerba che mi fa languir per un vago e dispietato amor, che odor il cuor mi tormenta e fa sospirare, ma non ha pietà. Sentirete l'amor la piaga che mi fa languir, perché